All right, so this is connecting with your higher self, part three. Since I hadn't gotten it yet, so we have part three. So this is all about me. It says nothing about you. I have to talk about this several times so I start paying attention to what I'm saying. So many of you know that one of my passions is building and flying airplanes. And this is a picture of my current airplane project. And it's missing wings, so that's why I'm not flying these days. The reason why I'm sharing this is that if you ask me about my passion, my hobby, I can instantly be transported to my happy place. In other words, I get in touch with what it feels like to be free and unlimited, which is what my experience of flying is all about. If you've ever flown in a small airplane, it's quite different than in a larger one. And if you've ever flown in a helicopter, that's even more of an experience of just being totally out of your element. You know, I imagine a long, long time ago when the early human beings were on the planet and they're dreaming about possibilities. You know, you never found someone looking up in the sky and wondering, I wonder what it's like to snowboard. It's all about flying, because flying is a metaphor for freedom. It's for a complete release. And have you ever had dreams where you've been flying in your dreams? Anybody? Yeah, that's awesome, isn't it? So we know what it feels like to enter into this spaciousness of our being, that what happens when we experience an elevated emotion and we just enter into a dimensional place within ourselves. And you know, I can have the same experience that I'm generating it right now, what it feels like to fly and what it feels like to be a part of this experience. And I can have that very same felt experience by flying. So, you know, my brain doesn't know the difference between what I've just now generated and my body creating all the wonderful chemistry that's aligned with that felt sense of freedom, of being unlimited. And when I'm flying, that same chemistry happens. And so it's important for us to understand that our brain doesn't know the difference between feelings that we generate as a result of our own interior process and the feelings that appear to happen by virtue of the circumstances that we find ourselves. And we know this. This is not rocket science. But what we also need to understand in this context is that oftentimes we're so conditioned to look for evidence of our worth through how our life looks and feels outside of us, independent of what we might generate all by ourselves. And so consequently, we become hypersensitive to how our life looks and feels, thinking that how it looks and feels is an indication of what we're having as our reality, when the reality is, or what we need to understand is, the mechanics of how we create our experience is that somehow there is a dimension of ourself that's interacting with this quantum field that collapses the field of infinite possibilities into the very experience that we're having, but it lives in the context of our total consciousness. And we need to know that there are parts of our consciousness that are living in the disconnect. And what happens when we create from that place within ourself, the place that is not connected to the truth of us, but connected instead to some limiting belief? I'm not enough. I don't matter. There's something wrong with me. Whatever baggage that we might carry, we need to understand that those beliefs will eclipse the greater dimension of ourself that is seeking to express itself freely through us, a dimension of ourself that Jesus called my Father, dimension of ourself that we, what I've been describing as our higher self. And it's important to know that that dimension is not a made-up kind of thing. That dimension is as real as the outer experience that we're having. Indeed, the forms in which our experience take place arises from that invisible dimensional place within us that is pure consciousness. And until we kind of interact with that dimension of us, we're going to be conditioned to look outside of ourselves for evidence as to whether or not our life is working. And that creates a problem, that when every one of us is looking outside of ourselves for a greater good to happen, then it seems like we have to compete for what's needed or for what's desired. We have to coax from out there for something to happen for us to have an experience that gives us some evidence that we're okay or we're successful or that we're on our purpose. And that's not good to have it flipped that way, because it should work exactly the opposite. The way it should work is that we should decide how we're wanting to feel and bring that energetic place within us that is dimensionalizing our experience in the context of this more than enoughness, this sense of knowing that all things are working together for good. When we unveil ourselves into that dimension of what is the reality of ourselves, then we have a different context to bring to what we're having. So let me ask you this question. Imagine a greater good that you want in your life right now. I don't care what it is. You can just be as big as you care to be. I want you to imagine a greater good that is in alignment with how worthy you feel. Now, you may not feel worthy enough, but I want you to expand your worthiness to say, if I was as worthy as I know within myself as I should be, if I really knew my essence, my worth, what would I desire for myself? And I want you to think about that one thing. You got it? Okay, now, this is the other side of it is that you really don't necessarily want that one thing. You want what that one thing makes you feel. Right? That's it. That's what we're after. We're after a felt sense of experiencing the greater dimension of ourself, the greater dimension of our beingness cannot be experienced in the context of what we're having. It can only be experienced in the context within what we are being, how we are being with what we're having. Does that make sense? Because it's important, because it goes against what our normal conditioned mind is basically how it's conditioned to run and how it runs us. Because when we recognize that our tendency is to look for validation, look for evidence of our well-being as well as the source of our discomfort outside of ourselves, to the detriment or the exclusion of inhabiting the dimension of us that is ever present, that Jesus described as the force behind his accomplishments, the works that I do, even greater works shall you also do because I go unto the Father, which was just his metaphor, basically saying, I'm opening this dimension within myself and I'm revealing it to you, my disciples, how I'm accomplishing this. He was teaching his disciples to enter into this dimensional place that he described as his higher self. And as we look at our own experience of that dimension called our higher self, it's important for us to recognize that the challenge is that we have a tendency to look at the divine or look at what is greater than us as something that is out there beyond us. So we've already separated ourselves from that dimension of ourself, thinking that it is bigger and better and therefore not me. But what we need to recognize is the dimension of ourself that is this infinite and eternal essence that is spirit, inhabiting our human experience through an individualized, localized being of consciousness, which is what you and I are. Nonetheless, there is a dimension of ourself that transcends that, and we need to own that as our identity, in addition to understanding that part of that greater identity is eclipsed by the smaller self. You know, the small ass self, I'm the small ass self. Pardon me. I feel comfortable here. I feel like I don't have to let what comes out of my mouth be against me. Okay, so the point is that we can't separate ourselves from that dimension that is our true identity. We have to own it. And part of our journey in owning it is interacting with that dimension, with being able to relate to it just as concretely as we would relate to whatever it is that we're having, because that's what it takes to begin to retrain our conscious mind, because our higher self has been trained out of us. Literally. I mean, when remember when you used to have imaginary friends? Remember when you used to see things that weren't there? Well, you know, when we recognize that we can, when we grew up, when we, you know, got a little older and wiser, we didn't get smarter necessarily, because we abandoned certain aspects of ourselves that only the child in us has access to. So we need to keep this in mind. When Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you, he is talking about a dimensional place, a reality. It's not separate from us. And every one of us has access to your own interior place, that is this dimension that Jesus describes as our higher self, but we need to know where it is. It's not out there. So the greater reality is not out there in the effects of life. The things that we see and touch and connect with are the effects of causes that arise in this dimension called consciousness, the dimension that collapses the field of infinite possibilities into the very experiences that we're having, but always in the context of what we hold to be true within ourselves, regardless of whether or not it's really true. If we hold it to be true within ourselves, then we become a law unto ourselves, you see. So as we look at this question, you know, how do we connect with our higher self, and as we understand that this is a dimension of ourself, we're really wanting to understand that what we're talking about is acquiring a greater mind. And so the question now is that what mind is running you? Because your mind runs you, especially when you're not watching, when you're not conscious. And how your mind runs is not because it's off doing its own thing. It's just every one of us occupies a mind-body process that has specific priorities that are independent of our spiritual path. In other words, our body-mind wants to make sure you are safe. We are safe, and so consequently, it paints the world half empty, so it doesn't miss taking care of what it needs to take care of. We're conditioned, we're hardwired to look out at life and see the glass half empty. But we have to compensate for that. We have to understand that there's more to our experience than what meets our eye, because our eye is simply a window of perception, and how we make meaning is the greater context behind what it is that we see and how we interact with what's happening. So in a sense, if we're caught up in our self system, our reactive conditioned behavior, that mind is running us. And yet we need to know that we have to give ourselves to a greater power if we're to free ourselves from that limitation. And part of our work to activate our connection to our higher self is about exercising the cognitive muscles that enable us to work with our interiors as opposed to be masters at looking out at life and deciding what needs to happen differently. And so our quest, therefore, is to be capable, resilient, more resourceful with what we're having right now in our life, because what we have right now is a portal to our greater good. Now, I got to say something. Lean in for this. The world is getting crazier. It's getting crazier. And so it behooves us, if we cannot kind of intervene with the craziness in the world, it behooves us to be resourceful in the midst of the craziness. How can we be in it but not of it? And being not of it, be able to impact it by being able to transform what's happening. And so we're being called, especially during these times, to find a resilience that is independent of the external conditions that we face. And so we're, in effect, compelled to begin to draw upon a wellspring that is within. When Jesus met the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, he said to her, "The people who drink from these waters will thirst again, but those who drink from the water that I will give will be unto them as a wellspring of everlasting life." And what Jesus was trying to describe is what happens when your relationship to that wellspring within you that is your higher self. That's what happens, is that you gain access to a dimension of your being that was designed to engage these energies of chaos and incoherence and use them for the betterment of our human family's journey and our spiritual unfolding. And so part of our challenge is to be able to interact with the various aspects of what constitutes the dimension that we're wanting to activate. So if we're talking about our higher self, we're talking about not something physical, but a dimension of our being that uses our physicality and all the forms in which we're in relationship to, uses those very things as being the opportunities to move us into ways unto which we can be the one unto what we're having, as I talked last week, about recognizing that everything that we have is a coming together of providence, of purpose, to bring us to a moment when we can exercise that part of us that is not of this world, that is here to interact with what we're having to bring the world into a higher place, to bring the new heaven onto this ground. And so as we understand that there's a dimension that is, that in the universe there's a distinction between the field of infinite possibilities and the forms that arise out of that field, it's important to understand that our higher self does not live in the context of the stuff. And therefore, our intellect, the part of us that interfaces with the stuff, those are not tools that we're going to find useful in working with the dimension of ourself that is incorporeal, that is infinite, that's eternal. This intelligence that indwells us, that enables us to be in the midst of whatever we're having and find that one path through that and through that experience that leads us to a greater expression of who and what we've come here to be. And as I talked last week, my experience in engaging this dimension of myself, especially in the context of my own healing, it's not like our higher self hands it all at once. Okay, you've been really good today. Here's all the abundance you'll ever need the rest of your life. There you go. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The way it works is that you open yourself to the experience, you open your heart to the gratitude of this moment that is going to engage that dimension of yourself, because there's no part of you that knows how to do this. No part of what your small s self, there's nothing there that is going to be able to draw it into a greater expression of itself, because the stakes are different. Because when you recognize that you are the one unto your life, and you open yourself to what the moment is, what's in store for you is bringing forth the greater mind that you possess as your true, authentic self. And that journey is one where you're handed the next bit of information. That's all you get. Then the next bit of information. Then the next thing. Then the next thing. And it could be a telephone call or a note or a book falls off, or you recognize 11-11-11 someplace on Facebook, and what's up with that? And you soon see this. The point is that all of a sudden, your mind is going to organize itself, not in the context of what it's having, but what is showing up that is contributing to a new way of being with whatever is going on in your life. And if we don't understand that that's the process, we won't pay attention to looking for all the help. You know the story about the guy who prayed to be rescued, and somebody drove by in a car, and come on, get in. No, I'm praying. Someone come by in a boat. No, I'm praying. Someone come by in a helicopter. Nope, I'm praying for help. And then they die, and they go to talk to God, and God says, well, I sent you a car, a boat, and a helicopter. So we have to make sure that we're connecting to the dynamic of life that is there to bring us into a greater expression and activation of this dimension of ourself. And so this is what I'm wanting to convey that is really important in all this. Think of it this way: feeling, frequency, field, and then form. So the way we interact with this quantum dimension is by the way in which we enter into it, into the field, is not through thought. You can't access it through your mind. You have to access it through your feeling. So that's why it's important that we have the capacity to generate an elevated emotional state so that we can retrain our body and therefore the corresponding body chemistry to be able to manufacture states of being that enable us to be present to what we're having without feeling diminished. You see, absent of the ability to set our own capacity and our own felt state, then we feel according to what we're having and we feel according to how we've been conditioned to feel based upon how our life looks and feels. So if we have a crummy experience, we feel crummy. But what if we have a crummy experience and instead know that the feeling of being, the crummy feeling doesn't come from the experience. The crummy feeling arises because the experience is touching the limiting belief in me that I'm not enough. That's where it's coming from. So that's what I have to address. And so when I know that the experience is mirroring that part of me that's not enough, then and I know that that's a limiting belief, then I say to myself, well, how do I need to feel in order to be with this as if it's for me? And then I work to create that felt sense of that feeling, and then I be with that situation from that place in me. And that what that does, that it begins to allow my awareness to begin to organize my attention and my meaning-making in the context of being grateful for this that I'm having if I bring gratitude to the experience. And then my mind begins to gather evidence in the context of why I should be thankful for this. Then all of a sudden I begin to see, well, this is a blessing here and this is a blessing there. And if you can be grateful and thankful for one thing that you absolutely cherish in your life, then you have to be grateful for every single moment that got you there. Because if you leave one moment in regret or disappointment or this shouldn't have happened or that wasn't meant to be, then and you can't see that all of those experiences, even the mistakes, even the struggles, they've all led to that blessing that you have ordained to be a good in your life, you couldn't have had that good without all those other experiences, you see. So being grateful for what you're having is a choice. It's not an effect of receiving something good. It's a choice that we make, that we bring to what we're having, and it's what transforms the experience. And that's what we need to begin to focus on. I've mentioned this idea that we need to condition or teach or train our body how to feel certain elevated emotions because otherwise, the body is going to be subject to what we're having as being evidence as to its reality. And so we must first teach our body how to feel more than enough if we were to have the outer experience of abundance. That should not be too difficult to understand. That before we can experience a greater good in our life, we have to first feel a greater good within ourselves. Because it doesn't happen any other way. We have to teach and train our body how to feel worthy in order for us to have the greater experience that translates into a greater sense of well-being. Because the world is not going to hand us a full and complete serving of well-being. We're just going to get what's given in the line that we're in, and we're going to have to make it worth what it's supposed to be for. And as you think about this world that we're facing in these times, what I would ask you is, how would you want to feel instead? And these are some of the feelings that I've come up with as I look at all the things that are happening in the world and all the places that I can go because I'm believing that that's the reality out there. I find that my day is a roller coaster, and there's very little equanimity when that becomes how I am oriented in my relationship to life. And instead, my practice is to generate these feelings that you see, and to practice generating those feelings because well, I need to call upon them when the circumstances are really important, that I not mess this up, or that I not come to this moment pushing it away or needing it to be a certain way in order for me to feel okay or safe. I need to accept this moment and open myself to the greater good, but I can only do that if I'm coming from this felt sense, because that's what connects me to this field of infinite possibilities. And as I carry these feelings into what I'm having, something, a different mind works the problem. And you just have to experience it to believe it, because it's that simple. It doesn't require any kind of elevated consciousness. You just have to be able to generate these feelings. So what's it like? Can you teach your body how to feel unlimited? Can you teach your body how to be adventurous? Can you teach your body how to be unstoppable? Because until your body has the felt sense that that's what's going on and the corresponding chemistry, your mind doesn't get with that orientation. And that's what we have to do. We have to retrain the body-mind to live in the context of this dimension of ourself that is our higher self. Okay. All right, so here's your homework assignment. So make a list of the elevated emotions, just like I did, that you would like to train your body-mind to generate on command. And so the idea here is that for the most part, it seems as if we have an experience, then we have a felt sense of that experience, and that it seems that our feeling comes from what we're having. It doesn't work that way. Our feeling comes from our belief that's superimposed upon what we're having. And that's why it feels icky. It's not the situation so much as it's incongruence of believing something that's not true and living as if that's the truth of us. And so identify those emotions that you want to generate, and then what action or thought process generates these elevated emotions. It's typical that there's something that we can do or see that when I'm doing this, I feel unstoppable or I feel empowered. It's important to get clear about what you do that generates these feelings so that you can easily go to them. And then what images or thought processes help you reenact whatever scenario or memory that you might have that rekindles that felt sense of what that experience is. And then practice generating those positive states of being before you encounter any circumstance or issue that you're kind of concerned about. So you begin to practice before you engage what you're having, if there's time, to be able to settle yourself, settle your nervous system, and then generate that felt sense of your more than enoughness or your gratitude or a connection to a dimension of yourself that is above or not able to be diminished by this experience, and just open to the moment and allow those feelings to guide whatever conversation or interaction that you have and see what happens. Remember, you're here not to believe what I'm saying, but to prove it, right or wrong, in your own personal life, because that's what's going to be what you carry into your own transformational experience. So I think I'm done talking about my higher self for a few weeks. Thank you for your attention.